Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How are you doing? I pray your day is going wonderful and great. This is Pastor Cheryl Thaxton on Favor Life, where we go through the process of there. And this process is the process of faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight, where God has called us to something that we did not choose or call ourselves to, but he has chosen us and called us to a place that he might bring power, anointing, release, blessings, and that he might show a demonstration of his perfect will in the lives of imperfect people that he's called, unlikely people that he's called, to show the world his goodness, his love, his kindness, his mercy. And as we release this by faith, walking by faith, trusting God to do what he said he's going to do, we save many lives, bless many lives, help many lives. We bless many generations and many races. And so we're grateful that God has called us through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith and grace that we have now entered into this place of relationship where he's calling us and taking us through the process of there. And as he takes us there, he's changing us line upon line, precept upon precept, using our everyday life to show as we eat the word, as we receive it and digest that word and apply it and grow spiritually, growing in the grace and the knowledge of who he is, we see him change us. And it's a beautiful thing because we're no longer the same. We are changing year by year, day by day, moment by moment as we take in. And the knowledge of God becomes more than head knowledge, but it comes in our spirit. We shift in our spirits. We grow in our spirits. We change. So we are seeing and understanding this process of there. Everybody goes through it. It's not something you can talk about and say, I'm going to do this in so many months or days. It is a walk of faith, and this walk of faith is every single day, and God does something wonderful. We are going to be looking again in the Old Testament. God is looking at people in the Old Testament at now. We do shift into the New Testament, but he has us looking at ordinary folks in a different time frame, different century, but the same problems as what we face now. Circumstances are just a little bit different, but it's the same issues that we face, but we see the answer. We see how God does it in their life. Even when they make bad decisions, bad mistakes, they're not perfect people. They're not superhuman. They're everyday folks that God has chosen, and we watch and see them as they go through different situations in their life, and they see the power of God that never ever forsakes them in the call that he's called them to, but it makes sure that they be only what he says as they trust him. So we're going to be looking today in the book of Exodus, and we're just going to talk a little bit. We're going to be on Exodus for a few days because it's going to talk about purpose and purpose that the enemy challenges. And sometimes we feel like when we are challenged in the purpose that God has called us to, and it doesn't manifest the way that we think, or within the time frame that we think, and in the way that we have pictured in our own mind, we feel like we're wrong, something's off, why is it so hard? But the enemy is challenging you because he understands that if you get to the full potential of what God has called you and destined you for, then you're going to be a great threat to his kingdom. You're going to be a great threat to the devices that he's used for such a long time to keep people in a certain mind frame, in a certain behavior and character, and a certain way of life, believing a certain falsehood. And you're coming to break the yoke off of their mind to make them think like they're supposed to, or think outside of the box that they've been limited to, and see life and see God in a different perspective. You're coming to break the yokes of bondage off of their life that has caused them to be crippled in so many aspects of their life, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So the enemy doesn't want them to be broken, these things to be broken off, even Christians. See, because he doesn't mind that you go to church. He doesn't mind that you act like a Christian. It's whenever you digest that word and now begin to grow and mature and shift in your attitude, in your mind, into a realm that he doesn't want you to, because as you shift in this word, you digest and you grow in it, you become as he is, even more. in power, in your mind, in your heart, in your attitude, so he can keep you in a place where you're always defeated within yourself, within your own mind, within your own self-esteem, in your own self-worth, in the way that you think and perceive things, in the way you act and behave. If you break that barrier, if you get to the place where this word is alive and you understand that the word is able to constrain me, the word is able to be profitable in food for my life, nourishment and wisdom, knowledge and understanding, that I can now walk, live, and be, and move and around, and in a way that I have not, even if the generations of my family have done it, I'm able to break something, a cycle, and now live in the abundance of God in a way that I've been not prospering, not being a blessing as I should be. So the enemy will use these things. So he doesn't want you to become what God says. So we have to understand that when we've been called to be a deliverer, someone who he can use as a mouthpiece, someone that he can use as an intercessor, someone who can love and nurture and bring healing, someone that can speak the word of life, pray the prayers of faith that breaks and destroys change, be an encourager of people when they're about to give up. You're the lifeline. You come and say the right thing or send the right card or get the right phone call. You're the one that does that. You're the one that holds up the hands of the pastor or keeps that ministry going to encourage people. If he can stop you, then he understands that he's stopped those who are following or connected or those who you're going to meet. So he'll try to make it hard, but you have to understand, because God has spoken a word concerning you, you're going to come out and be only what he says. Exodus is a place of exiting. It's a place where we hear God, and God hears our cry. It's a place where God speaks. It's a place where God's answering. Exodus is a place where God shows up in power and demonstrates his strength and proves his word. Exodus is a place of supernatural acts and supernatural provision. Exodus is a place where chains are broken and liberty and freedom and restoration, salvation and redemption take place. Exodus is a place of covenant. It's a place of a victory and crossing over. Exodus is a place of exchange. It's a place of release of wealth and prosperity. It is a place of corporate blessings and release. Exodus is a place where you walk in a new reality, a new life. You have a new walk, a new provision, a new relationship, a new mindset, a new overflow. It is a place where everything about you is being made new on another level. It's also a place where you are letting go. You have to let go of the former things, the old habits, the bondages, the idols, the breaks, heartbreaks and thoughts and people who won't even shift where they're supposed to, but they are a hindrance to you. It is a place where you have to let go of the things that are not like God, the things that cannot go with where you're going and shifting. It's also a place of warning. It is a place of warning because it warns us as we read and study the book of Exodus not to do certain things or the results will be not in our favor. It is a place of warning also because you don't mourn over some things where people or situations, they had the opportunity to shift to do what God says, but yet they said they chose not to. So you want to mourn in your spirit that they would not agree with God to go into the place where it's better. But you cannot stay even in that place of mourning. You have to continue to go. It is a place where God defends you and your enemies are openly defeated before your face. Your enemies are openly defeated in your face right there. You're seeing them fall. You're seeing their weapons be destroyed. You're seeing them brought to an open shame. It is a place where God surrounds you, and it's a place where you see day and night the evidence that God is demonstrating his power in the earth before you. It is a place where you know that he's with you. He's with you in such an arena and in such a way that those around you can see, even your enemies can see, God is doing something in your life and he's with you, and nothing and no one can stop you. When we look at the book of Exodus, we see here that we're dealing with mindsets and attitudes and behaviors of an oppressor. And an oppressive spirit comes in a heavy way. It brings hopelessness and despair, discouragement. And an oppressor comes to break your spirit so that you don't have the strength to fight, to get up, to change, to move, to go forth, to have even a different attitude and mindset about how you see yourself. They come to steal the strength from you. And many times as we, those who walk in and know that they've been called for great things in the Lord, and even those who have been called to do anything in the Lord, if you don't face any type of opposition at all, while you're doing it, you need to reexamine, are you really being effective in what God has told you? Because the enemy is going to try to stop you on every hand. But we know that God is mightier, and he gives us moments of rest where he stays ahead of the enemy, where we'll be able to be replenished and restored and built back up as we're moving still forward. But there's seasons when we have to war, when we have to fight, when we have to go in the spirit realm and begin to break down every barrier by the prayers of faith, by the word of God in him, and decree only what he says, and decree knowing that when he says it, it's going to manifest in our life. So we're here, and we see that there's an oppressor here. And this oppressor is Egypt and Pharaoh. Egypt comes to enslave. Pharaoh comes to kill. Egypt comes to enslave. Pharaoh comes to kill. Pharaoh gives the orders of death. He gives the orders to kill. But Egypt comes as an oppressor to enslave you into bondage so that you will not break forth, and that every generation is entangled in the same enslavement, that every generation is facing the same enslavement, but it is a worse, each generation is waxing worse and worse and worse in the ability to not break it, not be able to outpower it. Even though they understand it's not right, they still don't have the power to break it. The Egyptians were not as many as the Israelites, but yet the Israelites, in all of there were millions of them, and they outnumbered them. They outnumbered the Egyptians, but in all of that they were going through, they never in their minds says we could rise up and win over them, because in their mindset they said that they were mightier. And we see this show up in the book of Numbers, and we see it show up when the children of Israel were told to go into Canaan, and they said the same thing, we're grasshoppers compared to them. They saw their enemy greater than them, even though God had performed great things and God has spoken great things. So the spirit of Egypt comes in to enslave so that the mind, the spirit, the will does not have the or to break. And Pharaoh's the one who gives the order to kill, comes in to try to slay a number so that there will be fear put in the heart of those who remain, that they themselves won't rise up, that they themselves won't act, that they themselves will stay in the place where they have submitted themselves to this place of oppression. And if that is going forth in your life now, I command every place where the enemy's come to enslave, to kill, dream of God, I bind the spirit of the thief that comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. I bind the authority in the name of Jesus Christ off of your mind, off of your attitude, off of your behavior, off of your body and your spirit that has come in as an oppressor to weigh you down, to bring in anything that God has not said is yours, that I command it to be rebuked off of you in Jesus' name. I lose the authority of power of God, of healing, of liberty, of life, of restoration to flow to you in Jesus' name. You are not what the enemy says. You are only what God says. I pray that you receive this word and that you receive this small beginning introduction to the book of Exodus as we begin to look at it. And those in the word, I pray that you receive it and you live by it and go and look at your life and see every place where the enemy is coming to invade and kill. For the enemy is a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God, we know that the gift of God is eternal life, and we're going to live because he says so. Even now, we're going to live for his glory. I pray that you'll be with me on tomorrow as we go further into this walk of Exodus on Favor Life. Be blessed.